Carol Andrews is the president of the Wild Ones Minnesota Arrowhead chapter, and she's got ideas about native plants for your yard and garden. Carol Andrews joins us on the phone this morning. Howdy there, sunshine.
Good morning.
So you planned your Memorial Day weekend well. You got out on Friday and Saturday when it was gorgeous, and now it's KUMD and board games for the family today, right?
Board games, and somebody's got to do something about these piles of mail.
Okay. I hear you there.
I'm pretty sure the kids aren't too into the filing.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So you saw a bunch of stuff in bloom. So, and you said, and the kids said, what is that blooming stuff? And you said, well, I know this because I know this.
I know this, right. Yes. We were up at Bearhead Lake State Park because I was invited to do the Science Saturday presentation on landscaping for pollinators at Sudan Underground Mine. So that was neat to meet some Ely folks that are way into monarchs and all sorts of native plant reestablishment. So some of the things I saw, I'm going to talk about five things roughly from short to tall, all of which are available to purchase if they're not already in your yard. Some of them might be from local native plant sellers. So two small things, one sun and one for shade. For sun, pussy toes. And I did not see pussy toes up at Bearhead Lake State Park, but I see them all over town. It's Antonera neglectus, the Latin name. And you know where I see them is growing in people's yards. And the U of M Extension has a brochure online about how to get rid of this weed. And, a weed is anything out of place. And so if you're trying to have a nice plain lawn without augmentation by other things, you might consider it a weed, but it is a native plant. And it's the one that has a bluish-green tint to it, and the flower is really bizarre.
I got it all over my yard. Love it. I always of course I let the backyard go because that's the way I garden, but I also kind of felt bad. It was like, how can I cut the grass? I sort of mow around them.
Well, if you can mow around it, you might be helping out. A painted lady butterfly has a number of host plants, not a huge number up here, and that's one of them. Along with, in my yard, I have Pearly Everlasting. That both of these spread by roots, and the pussy toes, that's why you end up once it gets started in your yard, which is probably a sign of that you have, dry, poor soil or something. Well, welcome to Duluth. And the flower, you almost have to put, I'm doing quote marks at home, as goofy as that
air quotes.
Sounds. Air quotes. Because the flowers are teeny tiny, and it looks like a tiny little cat paw sticking up. Not a classic five-petaled flower or something like that. And they're only about 3 inches tall. But they're kind of cool where, you could try transplanting, though, if you have a sort of gravelly, very dry garden site. They work well in that, and they can spread and make this very low ground cover. We do have them in our Wild Ones garden down at Leif Erikson Park. So they work as a little very, very low ground cover as well. So if you have super dry areas, try pussy toes. If you have shady areas, wood anemone is blooming like crazy right now. And that does have a flower that you look at and say, okay, that's a flower. It's got five petals. It's white. It's kind of plain. It's only about 3 or 4 inches tall. The wood anemone or anemone quinquefolia. And that can handle shade to parched, full shade to parched shade. And I'm thinking my front yard, I used to have pussy toes, and they eventually, after about 5 years, died out. I think they got a little too shady because other things, as they will do, have grown. And now the front yard is a little bit shady instead of the exposed, crappy lawn it once was. So I might try some wood anemone at home because they are just everywhere in the woods. They're kind of ubiquitous, like large leaf aster tends to be. And so I feel like my yard is a little bit lacking my tiny little restoration without wood anemone. And getting a little bit taller, the blueberries are already in bloom. Yay, blueberries, that's right. And blueberries, I think, make great landscaping plants. The native blueberries are not very tall. They're the ones, like up in Boundary Waters and down towards this way, they can grow in fairly rocky areas and fold apart sun and get a really beautiful color in the fall, not to mention blueberries.
What's not to like?
see what's not to like. So those again are only about 12 to 20 inches tall, maybe if they had really prime conditions. But the ones in the wild, and if you look for them in the wild, it's kind of easy to pass by those blooms because they hang down and they're sort of a creamy white color. But if you were to crawl during your walk through the woods today, you would probably see some if you were north enough and in the right conditions. So getting taller from the blueberries then up to cherry trees. And I saw up north in particular and in my yard two different kinds of Prunus is the genus, but two different types of cherry trees that are very common in this area, the pin cherry and the choke cherry. And these come with another big warning, though. Pretty much everything I've mentioned will spread in your yard other than the blueberries, which you wish would spread a little bit more than they do on their own. Pin cherry, choke cherry, all these cherry-type trees, the American cherry, if you're south of Duluth, you see American cherry right now along Highway 35. It's very common along roadsides. They're all they'll make those thickets because they spread by root sometimes up to 15 feet from the parent plant. So they can be tricky that way. And I have some pin cherries. I didn't buy them. They just showed up by seed. They will show up by seed in your yard. And I have choke cherries. And the difference between the pin and the choke cherry I was just studying, when they're in flower, they both have small white flowers, similar to an apple, just they're all in that same genus. But the pin cherry, the shape of those flowers all together is kind of a little dome-shaped cluster, and the bark is completely different. The bark on a larger tree especially gets that beautiful, to me, cherry thing where it's sort of smooth, dark color with horizontal lenticels, whereas the choke cherry usually has multiple stems, and there the flowers are hanging in a cluster. So if you have like a tube of hanging flowers, a whole bunch of flowers, maybe 20 of them together, and they're really tiny, that is probably the choke cherry growing in your yard. And so I've let them go in a few places and just try to cut off the suckers so they don't take over the whole yard. And both of those do get fruits that are red. And you know what I realized after the fact, because I was thinking it's Memorial Day, I should talk about red, white, and blue. And I thought, well, there's no red flowers up here. Blue, well, there is blue, harebell or something. But I just realized what I talked about. Everything is white flowers, and we've blueberries and red berries on the
Yeah. Berries. Even the pussy toes are blue. So good job, Carol.
Pinch. But on what before you pop a lot of these pin cherries in your mouth, I need to warn you, they're really sour. They are edible, but in the Sparky Stensaw's books, his recipe calls for basically a 50-50 ratio between cups of cherries and cups of sugar.
I like it. Very few things, in my opinion, can't be improved by refined sugar, but then I am not a role model for anyone. Carol, thanks a gazillion for joining us, and we'll talk again next time.
Happy Memorial Day.
Carol Andrews joined us as our guest this morning on Northland Morning. She's our host for Wild Gardening with Carol Andrews, and she's the president of the Wild Ones Minnesota Arrowhead Chapter.